This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
In a breach of normal protocol, U.S. President George Bush will dodge media questioning during his Australian visit. At the insistence of the White House, Mr. Bush will not hold any news conferences with Prime Minister John Howard, and strict restrictions are being imposed on media access to the visit. Joint news conferences are normally held with leaders on official visits, with opportunities for journalists from both nations to ask questions. A spokeswoman for the United States Embassy said she believed the decision not to hold a news conference was based on a desire to focus media attention on the address Mr. Bush is delivering to a joint parliamentary sitting. The commander of U.S. Ground Forces in our Boys and Girls Club of America, the Fred Rogers Fund, Reading is Fundamental, and UNICEF.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard size burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling four or five a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
There's another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
Yet we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say goodbye to you.
Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thanks for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Mark in Galveston. Is Mark in Houston, Galveston? I'm not sure which. A lot of Marks contact us from Texas, but this is a Mark who wants me to announce that there is a Bring the Soldiers Home Now, a peace rally, Saturday at 2 p.m., from 2 to 4 p.m. in Galveston, Texas. There's going to be speakers, live music. It's at the Federal Building. For those of you who live in the Galveston area, the Federal Building, 601 25th Street, Galveston. It's sponsored by the Galveston Peace Action Network. So it's 2 to 4 this Saturday. Now, this is in conjunction with the demonstrations that are going on across the country. I'm sure. 138 cities, I think, are going to participate. And as usual, the big demonstrations will be in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. Galveston, Texas. You probably know where these demonstrations are going to be held in your city, so it's not necessary to let us know. But if you do, we will certainly announce it on the program. A lot of folks who listen to this show and also to NPR, Terry Gross's program, and who are aware of those of what happened with this crybaby candy ass Bill O'Reilly the other day, 10-12 days ago. You remember we played the sound bites where Terry just asked him some simple questions and the guy lost it. Typical right-wing freakoid stuff. But a lot of you have written letters to NPR, to the ombudsman, and a couple of you have sent copies to me. I appreciate that. If you do want to send an email about the situation, it's ombudsman@npr.org, O-M-B-U-D-S-M-A-N, ombudsman@npr.org. And his name is Jeffrey Dvorkin. It's either D-V-O-R-K-I-N or D-W-O-R-K-I-N. I've seen it both ways. But Mr. Dvorkin or Dvorkin, and it's at ombudsman@npr.org. Dan is calling from Albany, New York. Did you send one of these emails to NPR?
Mike?
Yes.
No, I didn't send one of the emails.
You didn't send one. Okay.
Yeah, I just have a few comments.
Sure, about that particular issue.
Yeah, about O'Reilly.
Oh, okay. This is your first time calling, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Well, welcome aboard.
I've listened for a short while. I heard about your show off the Internet. The thing about O'Reilly is that if you are an interviewer and you're sitting across from him, mm-hmm. you're aware, first of all, of what Al Franken wrote in his book. So you're aware of the fact that the man lies constantly.
Right.
You also probably have watched his program and you're aware that he's also a bully. He's basically doing...
Doing what? Dan? What? We lost Dan. Oh, no. All right. Well... All right, well, try to call us back, Dan. I don't know what happened to your call there, but it just zang disappeared. All right, maybe we'll get him back. You got to be careful when you're calling a cell phone, if he was calling on a cell phone. A couple other items here, and we are going to talk about Rumsfeld's memo tonight. Rummy speaks about the leaked memo, that he wrote discussing the failure in Bush's so-called war on terror. Also, Bush, we got some sound where Bush is heckled by Australian senators yesterday. We'll have all the sound bites you need to hear coming up soon. And in our second hour, not till Monday, Nancy Skinner will be back. So anyway, there's a couple of show notes for you. If you're listening in Australia, we have quite a few listeners there. You'll get a chance to hear the leader of your Senate ordering senators to shut up and sit down. Great, great sound. From John in San Diego, as Gephardt closes in on Dean's numbers in some polls, you may need a reminder from MoveOn.org. After only three open hearings by the Senate Appropriations Committee on $87 billion that Bush wants for Iraq and Afghanistan, without a single outside witness called to challenge the administration's line, And after so-called Ambassador Bremer went so far as to refuse to return to the Appropriations Committee to answer additional questions because, and I quote, I don't have time. And after this huge spending bill had been rushed through this chamber in just 1 month, and after Mr. Gephardt chose not to be bothered with voting on a major labor bill covering your overtime pay, Dick Gephardt voted yes on handing over yet another $87 billion of your children's future to an administration that has accomplished nothing, been held accountable for nothing, proven nothing, and has been asked to prove nothing. From John in San Diego. Let me guess, John, you're a Dean supporter. But he's right about Gephardt. I have no use for Dick Gephardt at all. None whatsoever. If he happens to stumble into the nomination on the Democratic ticket, I will be forced to vote for him. But I hope that doesn't happen. From Bart Kopp, more than a dozen American troops. We talked about this the other night. I think we beat him to this. But this is kind of interesting. He has posted, more than a dozen American troops haven't returned to duty after getting a vacation from Iraq, the Pentagon said Tuesday, dismissing suggestions that there is any significant AWOL problem. 16 of some 3,000 troops failed to show up at airports in Baltimore and Germany for return flights to the war zone, according to the Army. None has been declared absent without leave as officials try to sort out the cases. All right, that's a little blurb. Then Bart Kopp writes, hey, what is Bush's stance on soldiers who go AWOL? You gotta love him. Yeah, what would his stance be? Huh? How can but no, never mind. All right, put on your tinfoil hat. Get it on. I found this story. Somebody sent me the link. Jewel Digger over at Democratic Underground, one of the forums over there. Okay, put on your tinfoil hat. Oh my God. Last July, CBS News reported a U.S. Marine who was part of the unit that helped rescue Army PFC Jessica Lynch died in a car crash on his first weekend home since returning from Iraq. Josh Spear was killed when his car veered off the road in Greenville County, South Carolina, overturned several times, ran into a tree at about 8 a.m. Sunday morning. The 21-year-old soldier was heading to see his fiancée. Captain Sean Turner, Marine Corps spokesman, said Mr. Spear served in the Marine unit that aided in Miss Lynch's rescue. Spear was wearing his seatbelt. That's last July. On August 21st, this is reported at ArlingtonCemetery.net. The Department of Defense announced today, August 21st, that Petty Officer First Class David M. Tapper, 32, of Camden County, New Jersey, died of wounds received in action August 20th. Often called upon to conduct the most harrowing missions, Tapper took part in the April rescue of wounded POW Jessica Lynch. Duty called again last month, this time sending him to Afghanistan, where an increasingly overlooked and vastly dangerous mission to rout the Taliban and al-Qaeda terrorists grinds on. Tapper, 32 years old, died there Wednesday while conducting combat operations. Friends said Tapper was shot in the back during an ambush. He died later at a hospital at Bagram Air Base. That's two. Yesterday, Long Beach, California, a Marine who helped in the rescue of Army PFC Jessica Lynch in Iraq was shot to death at a family barbecue just 12 days before he was beaten to be discharged. Lance Corporal Sok Kak Ung, 22, and a family friend were killed early Sunday in a garage at a Long Beach home by a gunman who fired 6 to 8 shots before fleeing. No arrests. Los Angeles County Supervisor so-and-so offered a $10,000 reward for any information on the killings. Got your tinfoil hat on? How many people were involved in that rescue, Kathy? Six? One, a single-person car wreck in South Carolina. The second one, shot in the back in Afghanistan. And the third, shot by unknown assailants at a family barbecue in California. It's just all coincidence, isn't it? Not a thing to be concerned about. Nothing to see here. Move on. All right, George Bush in Australia. This, oh, my God. Boy, the Aussies were waiting for him, right? Bless the folks down under. Oh, my God. Let me get this stuff together here. All right. Bush talked to the Australian Parliament on Thursday, which would be Wednesday for us. He thanked Australia for its role in the war in Iraq and its help in the fight against global terror. Australian Prime Minister John Howard, another right-wing thug, responded by paying tribute to Mr. Bush's, quote, character, strength, and leadership, end quote. I can think of a lot of words to describe Bush, but those three are not included in the category, right? Prime Minister Howard said Australia was right to have joined America in the war in Iraq. Bush's speech was interrupted on two occasions by heckling from members of Parliament, both of whom defied a parliamentary official's order to leave the chamber. Get out of here! Well, that's not how they talk, but you know. When Senator Kerry Nettles shouted protests about the U.S. led war in Iraq, Mr. Bush smiled and said, I love free speech. Outside Parliament, thousands of demonstrators staged protests against Bush's visit as police mounted an unprecedented security operation. Yada, yada, yada. Now, that's how it's reported by the BBC. Oh, the BBC also said Mr. Bush spoke of a close partnership between America and Australia, which Bush said was led by Mr. Howard being a leader of exemplary courage. Bush went on to say, America, Australia, and other nations acted in Iraq to remove a grave and gathering danger instead of wishing and waiting while tragedy grew closer. Who can possibly think that the world would be better off with Saddam Hussein still in power, Mr. Bush asked. So that's why, okay, that's why we went to war. I gotcha, you lying little rat fink bastard. Oh, that's why. Oh, okay. All right, more from Australia. Stick around, because then we're going to play the sound for you so you can hear the uproar in the Australian Parliament Hall or building, whatever they call it there, chamber, as too stupid to be anything but a failed small time oil executive tries to address a body of real lawmakers.
The sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, because it's major.
What would you do if you do?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day.
The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, you'll be sleeping downstairs. And I said, no, we like our own bed. So I told the agent, we're going upstairs. And the agent comes running up and says, run your attack, we need you downstairs. So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So Bush is in Canberra, the federal capital of Australia, addressing the parliament there. Now, the first thing I shared with you is from CBS. This is from the Guardian of the UK. Two senators who staunchly opposed the U.S.-led war in Iraq heckled Bush as he spoke to Parliament on Thursday, but the president shrugged it off, saying, I love free speech. Both lawmakers were ordered out of the chamber, but they refused to leave. Senator Brown, Bob Brown, was the first to interrupt Bush as the president was saying that people should be happy that Saddam Hussein's regime had been toppled in Iraq. When a parliamentary official motioned for Brown to leave, he shook his head, gave him the finger, and stood his ground. I just added the part about gave him the finger. Later, when Bush paid tribute to Australia for promoting peace in Southeast Asia, Senator Brown shouted, we are not a sheriff. Now, that was a reference to Bush's recent comment that Australia was a U.S. sheriff in the region. You wonder why they hate us? What? We have deputized an entire country now to be our sheriff? No, Bush has. Stupid ass. That comment about, well, you're our sheriff down here now, it just reinforced sentiment among some Asian nations that Australia is nothing more than an agent for the Bush crime family. Oh, my God. As Bush arrived at the parliament, his entourage was greeted by several thousand noisy demonstrators who were banging drums and carrying signs that read, Bush, go home, go back to Texas, and Osama bin Bush. Police held back the surging protesters who were kept about 100 yards away from where Bush entered the building. 100 yards away, that's all. In this country, they will move you 2 miles away and put you behind hurricane fence and call it a free speech zone. Uh-huh. Now, AP, Associated Press reports, 41 opposition party lawmakers in Australia signed a letter criticizing Bush's decision to go to war, saying no clear and present danger existed. It was all lies. Thousands of demonstrators banged drums, yada, yada, yada. Several lawmakers wore white armbands to protest the Iraq war, but remained silent while he spoke. Later, Bush spokesman Scott McClellan said that the president had been warned beforehand by Prime Minister Howard of possible heckling. McClellan said, it was expected. That's the Australian Parliament for you. Well, you arrogant little snot. That's the Australian Parliament for you? Scotty, well, I don't dare say Scotty needs his ass whipped or somebody will come and get me and say I'm threatening the presidential spokesman. So I won't say it. Bush, that was the end of his tour. He then went to Hawaii, where he was today. He toured Pearl Harbor, participated in a wreath-laying ceremony at the USS Arizona Memorial. The president paid tribute to those who fell and drew parallels between the victims of September 11th and the December 7th, 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. I can see how we would do that, since both presidents, both Roosevelt and George W. Bush, knew in advance that these two attacks were going to occur. Both of them. Of course, the attack on Bush's watch occurred on American soil. The attack that was allowed to happen, and please don't send me emails now and tell me, no, Malloy, how can you say that? Roosevelt did not know. History, there have been several historians. As far as I'm concerned, the issue is closed. Roosevelt did know that there was an imminent attack planned for Pearl Harbor. And Roosevelt was dealing with Pat Buchanan types, even 60 years ago, isolationists who said, no, we're not going to war in Europe. And Roosevelt let it happen. He let it happen so that we would engage the fascists in Italy, in Germany, so we would get into the European War and also the Pacific War. Bush did it so his thuggish friends could make a lot of money gouging Iraq's oil. There is a difference, but both presidents knew in advance.
Recognize there are hurdles, and we're going to achieve those hurdles. There's no doubt in my mind we will.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George VI to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
We might be living through one of the largest extinction events in Earth history, but it's not making many waves. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The age of dinosaurs ended 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite crashed into the Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period. Well over half of all species met their doom in the cataclysm. Ann Weil is a paleontologist at Duke University. Weil studies how animal species recovered after the Cretaceous mass extinction. She says large-scale losses of species don't always occur in such spectacular ways.
I think that, yes, there is a preconception that a mass extinction has to happen catastrophically and very suddenly. And in fact, that's not the case.
Weil says the Earth might be going through a mass extinction event right now. Many scientists claim we're losing plant and animal species at a rate unseen since the end of the dinosaur age.
And because the reconstructions of the end Cretaceous extinction are so dramatic, with the asteroid impact and giant tsunamis and so forth and so on, many people don't realize that there is a catastrophe going on right now. But you are going to live the best day of your life in the middle of a mass extinction event, and you're probably not going to notice.
Some scientists estimate that today's extinction rate is 1,000 times greater than normal, although such numbers are debatable. But Weil says something is happening, and her research shows that some species are at a clear disadvantage in these events. She says large plants and animals with small geographic ranges and those most dependent on certain ecosystems are most at risk. Animals that are more adaptable and that live across broad areas and conditions will fare much better. Those include coyotes, cockroaches, and humans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, so we've got Bush yesterday down in Australia, pummeling the Australian people and the Parliament and sucking up to another neo-fascist. That would be Prime Minister John Howard, who I think is the only Prime Minister in Australian history to be censured while he was a sitting Prime Minister because of his support of Bush's oil war in the Middle East. Now, what do we have there? A couple, three stories about Bush's, the Associated Press, the Guardian of the UK, and I don't know who the third one was. But anyway, now here's a fourth story. The Australian press was not allowed to get near him.
The U.S. president has declined a customary joint press conference after his address to the federal parliament today. The media event, which normally allows two or three questions from Australian media and an equal number from the visiting press, would have been the only official opportunity for Australian journalists to quiz Mr. Bush on the Iraq War and its aftermath. It also would have been the only opportunity, you see, to ask Too Stupid to Be President about the two Australian citizens being detained without charges at Guantanamo Bay. Now, according to the website, and I'll post this for you, smh.com.au, Australian journalists were denied any place in a so-called close-up media pool that will follow Mr. Bush on all his official stops on the day. All positions in the four-member media pool have been allocated to members of the White House Press Corps. The U.S. Secret Service rejected an application from the Canberra Press Gallery for equal access on the basis that the Australian journalists did not have the required U.S. security clearances. The Secret Service then declined to allow the journalist to apply for those clearances. No reason was given. This is like, does this remind you of what? Catch 22? What? Well, you don't have the clearance. Okay, how do I get it? Well, you can't. Well, can I have an application? No. Well, if I can't have an application, how can I fill in and get a clearance? Right. A marquee had been set up on the grounds of the Lodge, whatever that is, in Canberra. To allow the American journalists to file their stories, no Australian media will be allowed on the grounds. A member of the team put together by Mr. Howard's department to make press arrangements for the visit conceded yesterday that Australian media will learn of the events at Government House from news reports filed in the United States. Jesus, they won't even allow Australian press members around this ass. Asked why there would be no joint press conference with Mr. Bush and Mr. Howard, the spokesman for Mr. Howard said, because it isn't on the itinerary. Why isn't it? Because it's not. Mr. Bush and Mr. Howard had joint media conferences both times. Mr. Howard visited the United States this year. The Chinese president, Hu Jintao, has agreed to participate in a joint press conference with two questions from the Australian media, two from the traveling Chinese press, after he addresses Parliament on Thursday. No questions. Not only no questions from the Australian press, the Australian government won't even let them near him. I don't know. We have a Perth, Australia bureau chief, and if he's listening today, I guess it's Friday, what is it, the Friday late morning in Australia, 10, 11, something like that, in the morning. If you're listening, our Perth bureau chief, perhaps you can fill us in on how the Aussies took this. Okay, here he is, too stupid to be anything, addressing the Australian Parliament in Canberra. Yesterday, our time. Was it yesterday? Yeah. All right, now this is where Bush is heckled by two senators. First, Senator Brown here, who was ordered to leave but refused to do so, who protested Bush's war in Iraq.
Saddam's regime is gone. And no one.
Senator Brown, I warn you, Senator Brown will excuse himself from the House. Senator Brown will excuse himself from the House. The sergeant will remove Senator Brown from the House.
Yeah, okay. Now, another senator, Carrie Nettle, heckles Bush with a little help from Senator Brown, who refused to leave the chamber. Apparently the sergeant couldn't get Senator Brown out of the House. Bush says, this is where Bush says at the end of the speech, you have to listen, or at the end of the removal of, or the attempt to remove these senators from their own parliament, for Christ's sake. It's theirs. It's their parliament building. At the end, Bush says he loves free speech. This snot, this little snot, what a snotty remark. I love free speech. As the free speech is silenced by the sergeant at arms. Starts with Bush, and then Senator Brown, and then Bush, and then Senator Kerry, and then the Speaker, and then Bush at the end. So, listen.
Australia is leading the way to peace in Southeast Asia, and America is grateful. Together, my country, with Australia, is promoting greater economic opportunity. We must know firsthand.
Senator Nettle will resume her seat. Sergeant will remove Senator Nettle. Senator Nettle will resume her seat. The President has the call. Senator Nettle is warned. Sergeant will remove Senator Nettle.
I love free speech.
Yes, not. Yes, not. Yes, snotty little mistake. Yes, snotty little imitation of a president. I love free speech. Especially when people are being dragged out of their own parliament building. I don't know. I. Wait until he goes to England in November. Where's our Perth bureau chief? Robert, our LA correspondent, is checking in. Hey, Robert, what do you think? What do you think of that? This jackass goes to a foreign country, and members of that country's parliament are hustled out of their own parliament building so this moron can spread his lies.
Well, what can you say except for the fact that at least they give the protesters outside a little bit more closeness to Bush, that the same thing we don't get in America. Bush loves free speech.
100 yards, huh?
Yeah.
They only kept the Australians 100 yards away. My God, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? How far away do they keep us?
3 miles, 4 miles.
Yeah, and then surround us with chain link fence.
And if we say, have any type of unflattering paintings or...
You're going to jail!
Yes, exactly. No. Jail's too light. We're going to send them to Guantanamo Bay.
There you go, there you go.
First class. Anyway, I was on AOL, and they have on the little interview with... A little soundbite for the interview with Mommy Bush.
With Babs?
Yeah, Mommy Bush trying to defend her son.
Yeah?
Yeah, now, and I am
you know, don't talk about my son. Don't talk about my daughter. He is a great, great little boy. Well, Mommy Bush, can you do me a favor? Hey, run that same crap to all those mothers of those sons who your son, who went AWOL back in the day, sent those people over there to do your son's bidding. You must be happy about that, huh, Mommy?
Yeah, it's, you know, Barbara Bush is to the Bush boys like Ma Barker was to the criminals that terrorized the Midwest in the 30s.
Oh, man. It's really completely awful. Yeah, but, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by this, you know. You know, we have a president to him who, for all intents and purposes, and I think pretty much the entire world knows this, he's not articulate. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And so that's why, you know, the rest of the administration try to shield him away from any type of legitimate criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he doesn't have the articulation or the intelligence to handle such, you know, type of criticism.
Well, you know what gets me? Barbara Bush can get out there and say something on television. Every one of her sons is a criminal. The majority of them have never been indicted. But they're all criminals. Look what Anil Bush did with the savings and loan. Look what Jeb Bush does. I mean, Jeb Bush has even got his old lady smuggling stuff into the country. George Bush is a criminal by any definition. Who else is there? There's another one who, Marvin. What the hell does Marvin do? Marvin Bush, he tries to cut deals with the Saudi family, a royal family, just like the rest of his relatives.
Right.
And then their daughter, I don't know what the daughter does. The whole family, it is a crime family. The nucleus of this family is George and Babs, and then these dysfunctional children. And for God's sake, the next generation of Bushes are just as bad. They're drunks. They're sexual predators. They're criminals. They're drug users. They wind up in... look at Noel Bush. This family is a train wreck. And for Babs Bush to get on there, this white-haired, wrinkle-faced old crone who wants to sit there and talk about how her family does this and her family does that. And let me add one more thing.
She's a father. She just cares about her kids. No matter how dysfunctional they are.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what a mother does. And she is a mother. There ain't no question about that. Robert, thanks for checking in.
All right, take care, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. New York Times had a thing in... was this today? No, a couple days ago. This old crone has a book out called Reflections. She's got a book out, Reflections, on, you know, her life as not being the wife of the president. You know, who is it? Abigail Adams is the only other woman in the history of the Republic who has both been married to and gave birth to a president. So this makes her special. This makes Babs Bush special. Her son managed to steal it. But she's been going around doing interviews because of this book. And the Times starts out by saying, one September morning in 1994, Barbara Bush writes in Reflection, she turned on the television, realized that with the exception of Arafat, I knew every single person personally that I had seen on during that hour. And that's the life that George Bush has given me. Amazing life. Lucky, lucky me. Okay. Lucky Barbara Bush, who married into Hitler's death camp money. Lucky Barbara Bush, whose in-laws financed Adolf Hitler. And then she has the unmitigated audacity to say on a Monday's NBC Today show about the Democrats trying to unseat her dysfunctional, brain-dead son, that they, the Democrats, are a sorry group of politicians? A sorry group of politicians? You old crone, any one of these politicians has forgotten more than your brain-dead son will ever know. So far, they're a pretty sorry group, if you want to know my opinion. What was George Herbert Walker? Herbert was on with her. That figures. Her husband also. This is according to who's this according to? Reuters. Her husband also had some harsh words for the Democratic contenders, whom he accused of using vicious rhetoric.
Wouldn't be prudent. The one who makes the most outrageous charges against my son gets his 20 seconds on the evening news. Hey, I did not ride in here on a watermelon cart. I know how it works. Isn't Pappy Bush the one who was responsible for the deaths of the people in the plane with him when his aircraft took fire over the Pacific during World War II? And the first thing Pappy Bush thought about was getting the hell out and leaving everybody else to die. There was a witness or two, though, and these witnesses have said they have never seen such a coward jackrabbit exit as they saw Pappy Bush do.
All right, you want to try it?
Like father, like son. The country comes under attack and George W. Bush dives into holes. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. Well, we've been, the program, what, it's 48 before the hour, 48 past the hour. I really hate these people. God, oh. Oh, man. What a crime family. And this old crone, Barbara Bush, oh, my God, this is a scary-looking woman. Yes, she's an old crone. I'm sorry if that sounds ageist and sexist. Tough! She mothered how many killers? How many people have destroyed the lives of other people? How many of her sons are directly responsible for financial ruin, death, insanity, suicide? And look at her grandkids. Is there one of them who hasn't been involved in some sort of criminal activity? Snotty old broad. I'm getting too carried away here. Larry is calling from driving in Montana, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. This is your first time calling, Larry?
First time calling anywhere, Mike.
Well, welcome, welcome aboard. I'm glad to hear from you.
I just kind of wanted to point out that crone wasn't really the right word to use for Barbara Bush in the sense that in a by definition a crone would be a wise woman.
Oh.
Her wisdom seems to escape her by that definition.
Okay, I guess I was going from the vernacular, you know, the common usage. You think of a crone, you think of some old woman who lives in a house by herself and, I don't know, eats children. You know, sort of like the woman in Hansel and Gretel. She was a crone.
Yeah, and that's like you say in the vernacular, it would be used that way, and it's kind of by ancient definition though, by the origins of the word was a woman of wisdom, a woman that would have been a teacher of the village or that sort of thing.
Oh well, never mind then.
Old bat might fit better. Or something
old bat,
like that,
okay, or
crone,
Ma
you know,
Barker.
I mean,
hey,
Yeah.
Have you got more to say? If you do, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a second.
That's all I wanted to say, Mike. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger. Call us again. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Papa's name and money kept my drunk ass out of jail. Oh, I'm George W. Don't you cry for me. Now I've made it to the White House. That's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. There's more to the Bush's big adventure in Australia. I just got an email here from Greg, an Australian living in Tokyo, listening to the program there. He sent me an article from the Sydney Morning Herald. Apparently, a couple of these the senators, well, the two senators, Brown and Senator Nettle. This is what the paper says: we're heading for the president, that'd be Bush, with some files in their hands, and a Senator Lightfoot intercepted them on the floor of the building there. And Senator Lightfoot said, I didn't know what was in those files. They could have been something dangerous. I couldn't take that chance. I prevented them from accosting the president and the prime minister. I assumed either of the leaders was deserving of my defense. The dangerous objects that the two senators were bearing was actually a letter written by Maha Habib pleading for the release of her husband, Mamdou Habib, who has been held without charge at Guantanamo Bay for some 2 years. The two senators trying to present this letter never got through. A rolling scrum or maul of coalition members, coalition being the supporters of John Howard, led by Senator Lightfoot and Senator Siobo, forced the senators back, and George Bush left the chamber. Man, it must have been one hell of a scene there, Kathy. And there's some pictures here. That's why I'm going to post this at my website tonight. You can
You can click on it, the Sydney Morning Herald, and that's what the smh.com.au is. Duh, the Sydney Morning Herald. You got to see these pictures. He just spreads joy and light wherever he goes, doesn't he? Huh? Little Mr. Bush, whose mother raised, obviously, one of the most dysfunctional political family, any dysfunctional of a family of any sort. Hell, if these people were used car salesmen, no offense, Roger, if these people were used car salesmen, but they're not. One's a president, one's a governor. They're thugs, criminals, thieves. I defy any of you right-wing lurkers who never have the courage or the guts or the decency to call this program. I'll be gentle with you. I've decided that if any of you little right-wing pissants, because, well, that's not exactly a good invitation, isn't it? But now that Limbaugh is incarcerated, or soon will be, a lot of you guys don't have any place to go whine. You're welcome to come to this program. If any of you have any courage whatsoever, I'll give you a shot. 800-TALK-YES. You don't, so I'm safe in making that offer. But it's there, since your boy is playing touch the horsey out at some recovery center in Arizona. If you need to vent, give me a call.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The FBI is investigating a letter containing the deadly poison ricin, which was found last week in an airport post office in Greenville, South Carolina. No one was harmed by the exposure to the poison, but the airmail office in the cargo area of the airport was closed as a precautionary measure. Officials said they viewed the incident as a case of criminal extortion and terrorism was not suspected. The commander of U.S. ground forces in Iraq is reporting an increase in attacks on American troops. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez also says groups linked to the Al-Qaeda may be responsible for some recent bombings in Iraq, although no known members of the terrorist network have been caught in Iraq. Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad Wednesday that U.S. troops have come under attack as many as 35 times a day in the past 3 weeks, with an average of 20 to 25 attacks each day. He also said he expects the strikes to become more aggressive, radical, and organized as U.S.-led coalition forces continue to search for deposed leader Saddam Hussein. President Bush weighed in on Indonesia's struggle between democracy and Islamic fundamentalism Wednesday, saying during a three-hour visit that peace and economic growth in Asia depend on Indonesia's success as a democratic state. Mr. Bush's stopover was restricted for security reasons to Bali, and he traveled less than a mile from where Air Force One landed. Bush met with Muslim moderates who were sharply critical of his policies toward the Middle East and Iraq. In a breach of normal protocol, U.S. President George Bush will dodge media questioning during his Australian visit. At the insistence of the White House, Mr. Bush will not hold any news conferences with Prime Minister John Howard, and strict restrictions are being imposed on media access to the visit. Joint news conferences are normally held with leaders on official visits, with opportunities for journalists from both nations to ask questions. A spokeswoman for the United States Embassy said she believed the decision not to hold a news conference was based on a desire to focus media attention on the address Mr. Bush is delivering to a joint parliamentary sitting. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A Toledo, Ohio man who bid $60,300 in an eBay auction bought the last two seats on this week's final flight of the Concorde. Proceeds from the auction will go to Boys and Girls Club of America, the Fred Rogers Fund, Reading is Fundamental, and UNICEF. Police in Cinder County, Pennsylvania, are on the lookout for a cat burglar who is literally stealing cats. They say the cat snatcher took 7 felines from a shelter in Monroe Township early Saturday morning. Authorities are hoping that someone will call in with information so the burglar can be treated as per the law.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IE America Radio. Radio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-sized burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling 4 or 5 a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, we're going to move along, but we've got a couple of emails here from Paul. This regarding Babs Bush. Mike, ever seen Aliens, the second Alien movie? Every time I see or hear Barbara Bush, I think of the slobbering, snarling mother alien plopping out one parasitic egg after another. By the way, Canberra is pronounced without the bear, so it's not Canberra, it's more like Canberra. Thank you, Paul. Canberra. Here's our Perth, Australia bureau chief, Fred. He writes in, dear Mike and Kathy, Bob Brown, one of the senators who was involved, is the leader of the Australian Greens, and in my opinion, is a bastion of true democracy and ethics. Yesterday was a special joint sitting, the House of Representatives and the Senate, for the occasion of Shrub's propaganda spiel. When Bob Brown was asked to leave the House after interrupting Shrub, he actually refused and remained in his seat until the end of the speech. After the speech, Brown approached Shrub on the floor, only to be blocked by a barrage of liberal politicians, that is, big L liberal as opposed to small L liberal. The irony of the free speech remark did agitate a lot of people. Yeah, that was the bit we just shared with you about. They were trying to deliver a letter from the wife of one of Bush's prisoners in Guantanamo. Anyway, the Sydney Morning Herald did a poll on Bob Brown's protest. 26% said it was a national embarrassment. 12% said it was bad manners. 17% said someone had to say something. 18% said it was an admirable interjection. 21% said it was freedom of speech in action. So that's 21, 31, 39, 49. So 56% were more or less in favor of Bob Brown. 38% opposed. And then there was 3% who thought it was feeble. You could look at that either way. And then our Perth, Australia bureau chief says, by a remarkable coincidence, Hu Jintao addressed a joint sitting today, and the Greens approached the chamber draped in Tibetan flags. Security guards turned Bob Brown away. The message is that Parliament is no safe place for ethics. Kindest regards, Bureau Chief Perth, Bureau Chief Fred. And then Andrew. Dear Mike, I'm not the Perth chief, just a relocated Australian listening in from Singapore. But I'm happy to give my opinion on what happened yesterday. To set a few things straight, Australians like to think of themselves as rebels and anti-authoritarian, a belief that is as far from the truth as it is possible to get. Australians like to make a bit of noise and grumble a bit, but in the end, they roll over and let the other side do whatever they want. I think this comes from our convict past. It typifies the relationship between the jailer and the jailed. Let me interject here, Andrew. I live in Georgia. We were founded as a penal colony, too. So that explains a lot about Georgia. Back to Andrew's email. If you look at the scenes in Parliament yesterday, you see a very Oz-like setup. We have two senators in a country where around 65% of the people were against the war, who stood up and made very brief interjections, which were unintelligible over the air, like the convict muttering under his breath, before sitting down for the rest of the speech. Don't judge Australia by this noise. Judge it by the mindless applause given Bush for his free speech jibe. Australia is not the country you think it is, Mike. We have been with the USA since Vietnam, and we will be with them until someone bigger comes along. Sorry if all this sounds a bit pessimistic, but that's the way it really is. Andrew. Ooh. Well, that means Australia is like the United States. Singapore, Tokyo, Perth, Santa Fe. I'm impressed. All right. We're going to get to Rumsfeld and his memo. But Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike. You know, listening to Barbara Bush talk about anybody else as being a disappointment or being, what did she, what did she say? Sorry.
A sorry lot, referring to these nine people who have served in government, with the exception of the Reverend Al. But the other eight have all been either senators, governors, members of the House. Most of them have been repeatedly reelected, except Carol Moseley Braun. And Barbara Bush has a way of just being a perfect snot, just an absolute bitch.
That was so classless. I mean, you know.
Yes.
It was, you know, this woman allegedly, you know, she prides herself on being so above the fray and so, you know, so honorable and stuff. And I think her husband, you know, she tries to play off of that image that George Sr. tries to portray.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't see how she could possibly say anything like that knowing what came out of her.
I know.
I mean, really.
I know.
And truthfully, I am so offended every time this man goes overseas, because every time I hear him speak, I'm sitting here thinking, Al Gore, if he were our president today, we would be nowhere,
mm-hmm.
no how would we be like this.
That's true.
Under no possible circumstances.
No.
I guarantee you, if you were to say any of the things about Bush and you substitute the name Gore,
mm-hmm.
to conservatives,
mm-hmm.
they try to tar and feather him for treason,
mm-hmm.
they try to pin baby killings on him, you know, everything in the world.
Yeah, wouldn't hold back, nothing.
Not a thing. And, you know, and the thing with Rush, oh, you'll love this. I just heard this about Tony Snow.
Yeah.
Have you heard this one?
I have not.
Tony Snow from Fox News is quitting his Sunday job at Fox News.
Why?
Because, get this, he's going to start his own radio talk show daily.
Well, he'll instantly be on 400 stations. There's no question about it.
Well, you know, seeing as how Rush is now, you know, he's just corpus delectus. He's
gone, I'm telling you.
He is out to pasture. This man's political career, all of the stuff that he's been spewing. Now Tony Snow is going to try and step in and listen to this. And Mike, I'm not trying to kiss up to you or anything, but let me tell you something. Yeah, that's right. Here's the thing, man.
Right.
I was coming home from grad school last night, and I was listening to a replay of The Savage Show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how anybody can listen to any of that garbage for more than 5 minutes.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Awful stuff.
Oh, it's just the most terrible stuff.
Right.
This guy calls in. He calls in and he says something like, you know, the Jewish people, you know, we need to at least be objective and all the rest. And he immediately starts calling the guy a Nazi. Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing, the kind of stuff. And I am amazed that people who are allegedly bright and educated people will support him. But then I remember, oh, yes, these are the same people who are trying to make excuses for Rush. These are the same people who supported the redistricting in Texas. These are the same people who
mm-hmm.
support Arnold Schwarzenegger in California.
Right.
And, oh, yes, they just love George Bush.
Right.
Thank you for letting me vent, Mike.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tony.
Bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Okay, let's go from the ridiculous to the terrifying. The memo the other day from Rumsfeld that was, quote, leaked, end quote. It was not leaked. This is Rumsfeld striking back. Rumsfeld, among other things, is an egomaniac of the highest order. This guy looks at the State Department, even the presidency, as impediments to imposing his vision of the United States. This guy is, and that makes him just monumentally dangerous. This is a Secretary of Defense who should have his ass tossed out. Give him a seat with the Carlyle Group. Put him on the board. Let him go make his money. But Rumsfeld is not just interested in money. This is a power-mad Secretary of Defense who is a danger to this republic and a danger to this planet. Now, in leaking the memo, in releasing the memo, You know, he's got all sorts of lies about the memo. He made damn good and sure that that got out. It was published first at USA Today, and then all of a sudden, boom! Now, the way it's being reported is that Rumsfeld is questioning whether the United States is doing enough to win the war on terrorism. He talks about mixed results in the fight against Al-Qaeda. He went on to say that this butchery of our people, as well as Afghans and Iraqis, is going to be a long, hard slog. Rumsfeld's spokesman, some punk named Larry DeRita, told reporters yesterday that the memo was meant to raise big questions that deserve big thinking and preserve a constant sense of urgency about where the war on terror was heading. Now, little Scotty McClellan, traveling with the Bush baby, what could he say? See, they have to show support for Rumsfeld, even though what Rumsfeld is doing is trying to overthrow George W. Bush. He's trying to overthrow him, and which is fine. I hope these people turn on each other the way the conspirators turned on Julius Caesar. But who Rumsfeld is? He is Cassius. Cassius, who has a lean and hungry look, according to Shakespeare, right? Cassius doth have a lean and hungry look. So let's call Rumsfeld Cassius. I hope I can remember that. Just refer to him as Cassius. Scotty McClellan says, regarding the memo and what was said in the memo,
that's exactly what a strong and capable Secretary of Defense like Secretary Rumsfeld should be doing, raising the big issues and, you know, looking beyond the horizon.
Three members of Congress who met Wednesday morning with Cassius said Cassius gave them copies of the memo and discussed it with them.
Sounding a theme Rumsfeld has voiced repeatedly in the past 2 years, the memo says the Defense Department is too big and too slow to effectively fight small groups of terrorists.
Well, gee, I guess part of what that means, you jackass, is you don't start bombing two countries. This should have been a police action. A gang of thugs comes here and murders 3,000 people on our soil. What do you do? And 15 of them are from one specific country, so you go invade two other countries? No, the problem with the Defense Department is, first of all, that the damn place exists. But secondly, that it's run by Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld wants to start a private army. All this private contracting that's going out, We already have private armies working under the Department of Defense supervision. Americans don't know about that. We're not supposed to know about it. But we pay people now to do our killing for us.
A total range fighter over the hill. I saw the frontline boys popping their pills. Sick of the mess they find on their desert state. And the bravery of being out of range.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-sized burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling four or five a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
A liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So Rumsfeld wants to start his own private army under his control. No congressional oversight. No one to answer to. Nobody to hold war crimes tribunals against this private army. He phrases it under he wants to a major reorganization of the Defense Department because according to him the cost benefit ratio of this phony ass war on terror is against us. Huh? Cassius saith, our cost is billions against the terrorist cost of millions. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's listen to. Let's listen to a little bit of Rumsfeld. This is from Tuesday. Now, we're going to start slow so you don't get whiplash. On Bush's good news campaign on Iraq, you know, the filter is... a reporter says to Rumsfeld, Mr. Secretary, several conservative Republican members of Congress on the Armed Services Committee of the Senate and the House said they wished the administration would be more straightforward, Republicans, in terms of discussing with the American people the situation in Iraq. Mr. Secretary, they said, these Republican conservative senators and House members, that the administration told people pre-war, if they had told the American people pre-war that what we might be facing post-Saddam in terms of casualties, costs, length of time, and so on, people might be in a more tolerant mood about what's going on now. And secondly, they said they don't really want a media blitz or a good news, quote-unquote, campaign out of Iraq. They want a simple, unvarnished accounting of what our goals are, what our progress is, where we stand, so the American people can judge for themselves, Mr. Secretary.
I don't know where the good news you're talking about is coming from. I don't read an awful lot of it. What we have done, what do you laugh for? I haven't. I see mostly bad news in the press, but it seems to me if there's a mixture of good news and bad news, it's probably fairly accurate, and that's supposed to be what one would do.
Oh, Cassius, Jan Cassius, hath a lean and hungry look. Continuing to answer the previous reporter's question there about how Congress doesn't feel they're getting the unvarnished truth about Iraq from the Department of Defense, Rummy says, they're sending weekly reports. Bet those are factual and precise. So the reporter wants to know why Congress isn't being given the full story on Iraq. Oddly, Rummy starts talking about oil production, which wasn't part of the original question. Here's Cassius again.
Let me answer your question. They're in this report that we send up to every member of the House and Senate every week.
Yeah.
It says, here's what the target is,
yeah.
Here's what it was before the war, here's what it is today,
uh-huh.
Immediately after the war, here's what it is today, and there's where we're supposed to be. In some cases we haven't met the goal, some cases we have. It's just stark. It says, here's what the oil production was pre-war, here's what it is today, here's what the goal is. Set, and it just lays it right out.
Oh, gee, Rummy, that's real nice. Be careful, your knife keeps hitting the microphone. Jan Cassius hath a lean and hungry look. On his memo, which was leaked to USA Today...
I'm tired of leaks in this administration. I don't want any more leaks. I don't want any more leaks.
The reporter says... How do you feel, Mr. Secretary, about having your memo published, and why do you think it was necessary to deliver that message? Now, that's the question. Whether Remy intentionally leaked the memo or not, the fact remains that even the Department of Defense admits things are going badly. We don't have time to play it, do we? Well, damn. It's only 20 seconds. You can't squeeze it in? All right, we'll do it when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Just the dawn. These blackest of years.
I'd like to know who leaked. If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker. For the dawn.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
We might be living through one of the largest extinction events in Earth history, but it's not making many waves. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The age of dinosaurs ended 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite crashed into the Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period. Well over half of all species met their doom in the cataclysm. Ann Weil is a paleontologist at Duke University. Weil studies how animal species recovered after the Cretaceous mass extinction. She says large-scale losses of species don't always occur in such spectacular ways.
I think that, yes, there is a preconception that a mass extinction has to happen catastrophically and very suddenly. And in fact, that's not the case.
Weil says the Earth might be going through a mass extinction event right now. Many scientists claim we're losing plant and animal species at a rate unseen since the end of the dinosaur age.
And because the reconstructions of the end Cretaceous extinction are so dramatic, with the asteroid impact and giant tsunamis and so forth and so on, many people don't realize that there is a catastrophe going on right now. But you are going to live the best day of your life in the middle of a mass extinction event, and you're probably not going to notice.
Some scientists estimate that today's extinction rate is 1,000 times greater than normal, although such numbers are debatable. But Weil says something is happening, and her research shows that some species are at a clear disadvantage in these events. She says large plants and animals with small geographic ranges and those most dependent on certain ecosystems are most at risk. Animals that are more adaptable and that live across broad areas and conditions will fare much better. Those include coyotes, cockroaches, and humans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. Okay, back to Rumsfeld. This was yesterday on the memo. That was leaked to USA Today, and whether this was intentionally leaked or not, if it was intentionally leaked, it was to fire a shot across the bow of the ship of state run by Cheney and this little uppity Condoleezza Rice, right? Huh? Whether that was the case or not, who knows? The fact remains that even Department of Defense admits, along with the field commanders, everybody knows, and the soldiers. Everyone knows that this has got Vietnam written all over it. This is a debacle. This is horrifying. And our people keep dying. And Iraqis keep dying. And Afghans keep dying. And it's going to continue that way. And anybody with the sense God gave a tree would understand that. Well, wait a minute. Trees are pretty smart. Anyone with the sense God gave a rock would understand this. So the reporter says, how do you feel about having your memo published, and why do you think it was necessary to deliver that message?
Sometimes one needs to say to a big institution, hey, wait a minute, let's lift our eyes up and look out across the horizon and say, are there questions that we ought to be asking ourselves? Are there things that we ought to think about ways to do differently? And I do it periodically.
I do it periodically. I am Cassius. I have a lean and hungry look. Now, today, at the DOD briefing, lots of leaks in D.C. recently. Eh? So a reporter brings it up again. This is today. Mr. Secretary, you said that you were not trying to reveal any, quote, hidden truth about the war on terrorism or the conflict in Iraq or and Afghanistan. What does that mean? And are you disturbed that this memo was leaked?
No, I think I understand what happened. I sent it to four people. One of the people was out of town, and his office received it, thought, gee, those are interesting questions. I'll staff it out, circulated it to a number of people so that by the time the boss got back, he'd have their thoughts. And one of the people that it was circulated to, obviously, thought I'd issued it as a press release.
What? How stupid is his staff? A press release? No, usually a press release says at the top, press release, and you send it to the press. But that's all right. Rumsfeld knows he can say things like that. Nobody's going to challenge him. What, a Department of Defense reporter? One of the crack DOD reporters? Oh, yeah. Still on the memo, another reporter says, Mr. Secretary, what about the critics who are out there saying that the administration is putting a happy face on the war on terrorism publicly, but privately this memo indicates that things are not so happy, that in fact you,
what we have done is we've put out a very straightforward, accurate, and balanced view of what we see happening and what we believe to be the case. And there's been no mystery about the fact that this is, from the very beginning, we've said that this global war on terror is a tough one. We're finding these terrorists where they are, and we're rooting them out, and we're capturing them, we're killing them. It's difficult work. It won't be over anytime soon. And I will close by saying it'll be a long, hard slog.
Oh, there's that word again, slog. Now, what's this? We've put out a very straightforward, accurate, and balanced view of what we see happening. What? The lies, the denials, the refusals to answer questions, and you call that a straightforward, accurate, and balanced view? Rumsfeld, you know, it's understandable that you are insane, but surely you don't think that the rest of us are too? Well, I guess you do. Last one from Rummy. Reporter wants to know,
Mr. Secretary, if you're characterizing this memo as simply thinking out loud with your top aides, given the political climate in Washington, how problematic is it to have this thinking out loud memo out there for Congress, members of Congress especially, to chew over, for presidential candidates to chew over right now? Mr. Secretary?
It's life. It's the way it works in this town. If you don't, I don't think anyone who's ever come into a position like Secretary of Defense is asked to cage their brain and stop thinking.
Oh, Jesus.
That is what we're here for, is to try to think of the best interests of the American people and to ask the kinds of questions that are important and are probing. And it seems to me that that's a very constructive, useful thing to do.
That's what we're here for. To try to think of the best interests of the American people. And to ask the kinds of questions that are important or probing. And to say, it seems to me that's a very constructive, useful thing to do, and we're doing it. Oh, my God. Well, before we leave this, at BuzzFlash.com today, a BuzzFlash reader commentary by one P. Williams. That memo wasn't leaked. It was obviously planted. Why? Well, here are a few reasons the writer believes. The administration obviously knows they are losing the war on terrorism, and so now they're setting up their excuses. They're trying to prepare the American people, or the American mentality, to expect long, drawn-out occupations in both Iraq and Afghanistan as necessary evils. It makes Rumsfeld looks like he's doing his job, but that the Department of Defense is a large, difficult bureaucracy to manage. That's called shift the blame. It plants the seed for the possible development of a new branch of defense designed by the White House. Well, I disagree there, Mr. Williams, or Ms. Williams, is designed in Rumsfeld's fevered, addled brain. And it paves the way for them to take more necessary aggressive measures. What's next? Oh, that's right, tactical nukes. P. Williams writes, this is also obvious that I can't believe that everyone else isn't picking up on this. Hell, they already had their canned little defense of the memo ready to go, along with Rumsfeld's mock outrage that this little memo to four senior staffers could get out. What? No investigation to find the source of the leak? I have not read this in any forum, but come on, this is so phony I can smell a rat when I smell one. Well, yeah, okay. Okay. Where are we? I listen to this stuff. Listen to what too stupid to be president says when he's in a foreign country's the House of Parliament, or when he's in the White House. You listen to Scott McClellan, you listen to Rumsfeld, you listen to General Myers, you listen to all these people, you listen to Condoleezza Rice, who I don't think ever has put together a simple sentence, you know, subject, verb, noun, Is that how it works, Kathy? Noun, verbs, whatever. With little... Well, I used to know how to diagram sentences, you know. Never. Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Cheney. Jesus, Cheney is so far over the hill, he still insists that we attacked Iraq because of their weapons of mass destruction. They're all over the place. Thank God that we Americans were so bright as to take the presidential election in the year 2000 and make it so close that five thugs in the United States Supreme Court had to decide in favor of this little twerp George Bush. Thank God we decided that we'd had enough peace and prosperity. Thank God we had enough state governments who were flush with cash. Thank God we decided we had enough of budget surpluses. Thank God we decided it was time to go kill people and have our soldiers killed in return. Thank God you and I made that decision. Eh? And look what we got. Look what we got. Oh, and regarding that issue, senior Pentagon officials said yesterday that more National Guard and Reserve forces will be notified in coming weeks that they're probably going to have to serve in Iraq next year. Sorry. What? You're 35 years old, married, got three kids and a mortgage? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, and you're in the National Guard, and you thought you were joining the National Guard for what? Oh, to do a weekend? Oh, to help with the sandbags when your local river floods? Is that? Oh, that's what you guess what, sucker and suckerette? Your asses are going to Iraq! The General Peter Pace of the Marines, Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said, anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 troops are going to be called up. They're going to come from Arkansas and the North Carolina National Guards. And maybe 5,000 from Washington State. The reason they're being called up, they're going to be involved in what's called combat support and combat service support. Now, this is a kind of duty in Iraq that puts the troops right in the way of frontline fire. There is no frontline in Iraq. It is all frontline. This is Vietnam. There is no frontline. This is not World War II. The call-up of these troops from the Guard and Reserves, according to the Department of Defense, could affect dozens of units with hundreds of members in each unit, men and women. So if you are in the Arkansas Guard or Reserve, North Carolina Guard or Reserve, or the Washington State Guard or Reserve, I'm sure you'll be notified other than from this tacky little radio program. But guess what? Guess where you're going to be spending next summer when you've read the reports, 127 degrees, people shooting at you, people lobbing RPGs at you, blowing you up. And why? Are you defending America's borders? No. Are you standing for freedom, justice, and the American way, mom and apple pie? No. What are you doing? You have become a sucker for the Bush crime family. These people show such disrespect to our military, to our soldiers. It's just astonishing. Just astonishing. Peter is calling from Saginaw Valley, British Columbia. Peter, welcome. Oh, I'm sorry. He's our Saginaw Valley Bureau Chief.
That would be in Michigan.
Yeah, that would be in Michigan. I'm sorry. I'm just my eyes are filling up with blood tonight, and it was hard to see the screen.
Yeah, I can kind of feel it.
Yeah.
Here. Rumsfeld, one of the most stunning quotes I ever read about Rumsfeld was Henry Kissinger said that Rumsfeld was the most ruthless man he had ever met.
Yeah.
And he's met Mao.
And that's Kissinger saying that.
Kissinger saying that.
Yeah. Now, Kissinger, the guy who engineered the overthrow of a legally elected government in Chile that resulted in thousands of people being being killed and the president of that country being assassinated. And Kissinger says Rumsfeld.
The most ruthless man he ever.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, I guess I called in to talk about the military, and you were hitting it right on the head there. I think that a lot of people on the left are really kind of reticent and not comfortable standing up for the people that are in the military.
Oh, I don't know why. But
I don't know why either.
But you're right.
But, you know, Senator Byrd, God bless him, wrote and asked the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO,
mm-hmm.
for an estimate of how long we can sustain this force in Iraq. And they came back and said quite simply, there's no way in God's green earth that we can maintain this kind of force much past next spring
right.
without massive, massive call-ups of reserves and National Guards
mm-hmm.
or gross changes in the rotation structure of the military, which would just absolutely decimate, you know, any reenlistment and the morale,
mm-hmm.
or a draft.
That's right.
And I just don't think enough people are out there speaking to this. Although I did hear you talked about Senator Hagel yesterday. Senator Hagel, I heard on a talk show a couple of days ago, and he said he talked to a caller who was from a military family. Said they couldn't take it anymore. They were going to make it a career, but now they're going to hang it up because they were just being lied to too much. And he said this is something that the Bush administration did not consider prior to this war. That we're looking at destroying our entire force structure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is, you know, conservative Nebraska Republican.
Yeah, who is a primary investor or stockholder in one of these touchscreen voting companies, ESNS.
He's a fundamentalist monster, but
right.
but nevertheless, he's
mm-hmm.
scared, he's frightened enough by the prospect,
mm-hmm.
and he is a military veteran himself.
Right, he is.
That he's already laying the groundwork. He doesn't want to say that he never said anything about it because
mm-hmm.
he could see it coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Peter. What they are doing, not just to the military, but to military tradition, and I realize I've said this a thousand times, we have some pretty dodgy chapters in the history of the military in this country over the past 200 years. Let's be honest. In Central America, Southeast Asia, and I'm not talking just about Vietnam, I'm also talking about the Philippines, South America, even the American West. During the early 19th century, middle 19th century, the U.S. military has a dodgy past, but it also has a past that is filled with honor. It has both. Like any institution that is involved in the practice of killing and destroying things, you are going to find honorable chapters, and you're going to find chapters that you have to turn your face away because it's horrifying. But what the Bush crime family is doing is destroying the military, utterly and absolutely destroying it. Reenlistment, I'll tell you, the only people who are going to join people who, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds who have spent, high school dropouts, spent a lot of their time doing video games, and all of a sudden they're going to be given a chance by people like Rumsfeld to go kill actual real people. And since young people never die, when you're 18, 19, 20, 25, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever.
Yeah.
You are immunized. You are protected. Jesus is on your shoulder or somebody. And so you're not going to die. So you're going to join to go kill. But then surprise, surprise, your last thought will be, what is that funny feeling in my midsection? And then you're going to look down and see blood gushing out and then the abyss.
Yeah, there's a fabulous book called Jarhead by Anthony Swofford about his experience of a Marine in the first Gulf War.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely cannot be recommended highly enough.
Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating... frustrating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aw.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speech Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We do have a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We're talking with Peter, our Saginaw Valley, Michigan bureau chief. All right, Peter, where were we?
Hey, Mike. I just
a suggestion I have is that for people that have a mind to raise some of these issues, say in their local newspapers or something like that, go to Google, punch in CBO for Congressional Budget Office, CBO Iraq Army. You'll come up with all the data you need to put together a real punchy letter to your representative or your newspaper about how this is destroying our military and destroying our national security. I think it's the argument that you need to lead with because these bastards think they've got that one over you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just don't give them an inch on that one because they are destroying it in every possible way.
Why, I've asked this question 1,000 times, why then do people in the military, at least this is the urban legend, so overwhelmingly vote Republican? Is it because they feel they need to support the command structure? Of course, that's not the case. If it's a Democrat in the White House and a Democratic-controlled Congress, but why? Do you have an answer? I've asked as many people as I can. Why does the military seem to be mostly Republican?
I think it's an authoritarian mindset, and I think the Republicans represent the authoritarian faction of society.
So people in the military can't see that this Republican administration is destroying the institution that some of them have devoted 30 or 40 years to? They just don't see it, huh?
Well, I'll tell you a story. A friend of mine close to me is a teacher, just talked to a parent of hers who was a career military man just back from Iraq, and she approached the subject rather gingerly and said, how was it? And he said, well, it's a lot worse than anything you're hearing here.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they
sure
really hate us over there.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I think we were lied into this war. And he said, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot more people out there in the military who have very serious questions about this than you would be led to believe. In fact, I think the people, the generals in the Pentagon, I don't know what they're going to do about this, but I am just as certain as I'm talking to you here that they know the score, and they know that their organization that they've given their lives to is in grave, grave danger.
Hey, thanks, Peter.
Okay.
Appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. All right. Top of the hour break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
In a breach of normal protocol, U.S. President George Bush will dodge media questioning during his Australian visit. At the insistence of the White House, Mr. Bush will not hold any news conferences with Prime Minister John Howard, and strict restrictions are being imposed on media access to the visit. Joint news conferences are normally held with leaders on official visits, with opportunities for journalists from both nations to ask questions. A spokeswoman for the United States Embassy said she believed the decision not to hold a news conference was based on a desire to focus media attention on the address Mr. Bush is delivering to a joint parliamentary sitting. The commander of U.S. ground forces in Iraq is reporting an increase in attacks on American troops. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez also says groups linked to the Al-Qaeda may be responsible for some recent bombings in Iraq, although no known members of the terrorist network have been caught in Iraq. Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad Wednesday that U.S. troops have come under attack as many as 35 times a day in the past 3 weeks, with an average of 20 to 25 attacks each day. He also said he expects the strikes to become more aggressive, radical, and organized as U.S.-led coalition forces continue to search for deposed leader Saddam Hussein. The FBI is investigating a letter containing the deadly poison ricin, which was found last week in an airport post office in Greenville, South Carolina. No one was harmed by the exposure to the poison, but the airmail office in the cargo area of the airport was closed as a precautionary measure. Officials said they viewed the incident as a case of criminal extortion and terrorism was not suspected. President Bush weighed in on Indonesia's struggle between democracy and Islamic fundamentalism Wednesday, saying during a three-hour visit that peace and economic growth in Asia depend on Indonesia's success as a democratic state. Mr. Bush's stopover was restricted for security reasons to Bali, and he traveled less than a mile from where Air Force One landed. Bush met with Muslim moderates who were sharply critical of his policies toward the Middle East and Iraq.
More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Police in Cinder County, Pennsylvania are on the lookout for a cat burglar who is literally stealing cats. They say the cat snatcher took 7 felines from a shelter in Monroe Township early Saturday morning. Authorities are hoping that someone will call in with information so the burglar can be treated as per the law. A Toledo, Ohio man who bid $60,300 in an eBay auction bought the last 2 seats on this week's final flight of the Concorde. Proceeds from the auction will go to Boys and Girls Club of America, the Fred Rogers Fund, Reading is Fundamental, and UNICEF.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com. Or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-sized burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling 1 triple-wide a year to selling 4 or 5 a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry's supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fanjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fanjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, welcome back, Truth Seekers. I sure wish some of the right-wing lurkers who listen to this program would have the courage to call the program. I promise I'll not beat up on you. You suppose that's possible, Kathy? They're all scared to death. If I were Alan Combs, they would call.
Hi, I'm Alan Combs. I'm Sean Hannity's butt boy. And call me. I have a radio program. You can call me.
If you were Alan Combs, you'd be single.
Okay, but seriously. The Christian Aid, which is a British aid group, says that the U.S.-run body governing Iraq has failed to account for billions of dollars allocated for rebuilding the country. That charge was made today. Christian Aid said in its report that the Coalition Provisional Authority, that would be Bremer's gang, had only explained how it had spent $1 billion of the $5 billion it has been given for Iraqi development. Now, the funds include $1 billion from the former United Nations Oil for Food program. They're stealing that. $2.5 billion in assets seized from Saddam Hussein's former regime. $1.5 billion in oil revenue. The international director for Christian Aid said, "This is Iraqi money. The people of Iraq must know where it is going, and it should be used for the benefit of all the country's people, particularly the poorest." The Provisional Authority had no immediate response to the report. The executive director of Christian Aid, the British aid group, said the failure to account for this money was, quote, little short of scandalous, unquote. Well, I would take it up another 7 or 8 notches, Your Honor, sir, executive director of Christian Aid. This is theft. This is fraud. This is blood money. This is killing people and stealing their money. It's much worse than a little short of scandalous. He has urged Britain's government to demand full disclosure of where the money's going. Who's got it? Oh, yeah. Tony Blair is going to pick up the phone and call George Bush and say, "Where is it?" I don't think so. But I appreciate the efforts of the executive director of Christian Aid for at least bringing it out. Some American lawmakers have charged that money meant for Iraqi rebuilding has been squandered by paying inflated prices to Halliburton, Dick Cheney's company. Think of the hundreds of millions of dollars that are being stolen by the Bush crime family, by Halliburton, by Kellogg Brown and Root, by Bechtel, by the Carlyle Group and all of its tentacles. Not just the money referred to by Christian Aid, but money that is coming from the pockets of us taxpayers. Money now, it's not coming from our pockets. It is being borrowed. It is being provided by foreign investors who are providing the loans so that this country, can maintain on a $500 billion deficit. That's another thing we decided to give up after 8 years of the Clinton administration, and the last 3 years of which we had budget surpluses. No, we don't want that. No, we don't want peace. No, we don't want agreements to cut back on greenhouse gas. No, we don't want to try to end and tamp down the hot spots on the planet. We want death, destruction, war, debt, poison. Are we the stupidest people on the planet?
Yeah, Mike.
And then there's this. Soldiers who served in Iraq, this is just, soldiers who served in Iraq will not be allowed to give blood for a year after returning home because of a rare skin parasite that has infected, at least these are the numbers published, 22 members of the military. This is according to federal health officials, CDC. The disease we're talking about here, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, is called Leishmaniasis. It's spread by sand flies and can cause skin lesions. A more serious form will kill you. The Pentagon estimated the potential loss of blood donors at more than 12,000 people. 12,000? But this says, the CDC is saying, no soldier who served in Iraq will be allowed to give blood for a year. Donation bans are already in place for soldiers returning from Kuwait and Afghanistan. Those already stricken by the parasite came from the Army, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, and included active Reserve and National Guard members. Most were serving in northern or central Iraq. The parasite, common in parts of Central and Southern Asia, infects more than 1.5 million people a year. The small circular lesions are painless. A doctor at Walter Reed Hospital who treats soldiers with leishmaniasis says the lesions are self-healing, but they can take months to heal. He goes on to say it's not something people need to freak out about, but it should be treated unless you have the fatal kind. And then, you should freak. Yes. The Center for Disease Control here in Atlanta reported that the parasites can be spread through blood transfusions. This is the last military thing I've got, and back to your calls. It's from the Daily Mislead. That's a daily chronicle of Bush administration lies. It's put together by the same people who do MoveOn.org, I believe. One of Bush's campaign promises, if you remember, Bush and Cheney, was to rebuild the military power of the United States, right? Cheney, remember the debates in 2000? Cheney claimed that the U.S. military power had lapsed because of all sorts of things, mostly Bill Clinton, multiplying missions, unclear goals. Okay. But as the Daily Mislead reports, Bush's multiple deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan have overtaxed the military even more, and now it has led to hiring more civilian contractors for such basic duties as guarding U.S. military bases. Think about that for a moment. You're interested in security? Contractors? Who would that be? Wackenhut? Wells Fargo, or whatever the hell they're called now? Private security firms have taken over what traditionally has been a sole province of the military. In a typical contract, ACOL Security has been awarded $70 million to guard 8 stateside army bases. Oh, boy, I'll bet the soldiers feel very secure with that, huh? In Iraq, almost a third of the $4 billion monthly costs are going to private contractors. One foreign policy expert estimates the current Bush administration has 5 times as many civilian contractors in Iraq as Pappy Bush did during the first Gulf War in 1991. Well, there's a reason for that. At least Pappy Bush, being the jerkwater that he is, he had some restraints against him. You know, first of all, he was dead in the water. Secondly, he was not working with the Republican control of the House and the Senate. And third, all the vermin that swarmed around his son had not started swarming yet. The privatization practice, first explored when Cheney was Secretary of Defense for the senior Bush, led to an $8.9 million logistics contract for Brown & Root, a company Cheney oversaw as head of Halliburton. Of approximately 3,000 civilian contracts awarded by the Pentagon since 1994, 2,700 have gone to Halliburton's subsidiary Kellogg Brown & Root and one other firm. The business of war. You can really make a killing, huh? Mike is calling from upstate New York. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. And meanwhile, on the lighter note, here in upstate, the VA administration is looking to close one of our veterans' hospitals, and we're fighting like the dickens to keep it open.
Yeah, that is so common. It is so common around the country. First of all, medical care for veterans, the people who administer it should be horsewhipped. Making people wait for 6, 8, 9 months just to get a physical exam to find out what's wrong. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm tripping again. Go ahead.
Well, but there's more fun. So they're closing the VAs. They cut the combat pay. They're cutting a lot of stuff for the folks that are active duty, basically the heck with you when you get out. And as an added bonus, it seems like we're taking an awful lot of casualties over there, and that's really not information that's available.
That's true.
And
Mike, if you report it, if any media outlet, television, radio, or whatever, reports it in this country, then, of course, they're being unpatriotic, or as George Bush puts it, that's the filter talking, and he doesn't like the filter, you see. We are not supposed to know about these casualties, whether they are killed in action, KIAs, or MIAs, or wounded. If you report it, you're being unpatriotic.
Yeah, but here's what's funny about that. Now all of a sudden they're starting to report it, but I found a report of it out of the Observer back in September.
Yeah.
And we had about 2,000 wounded. That was back in September 19th.
Yeah.
There was a little blurb on Yahoo today said that we've got about 1,700 wounded, and this information is easy to find, and they don't know what anybody's complaining about. But at the same time, I'm hearing other reports that say we've got great big transports dropping into the U.S. every night, offloading like it's nobody's business. Just full of soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently all of the hospitals for treating guys who've been seriously injured. I'm not talking about the guy, hangnail out in the field. I'm talking about guys who basically you lost a foot, you lost an arm, you've been shot all the heck. The wards are full, and there are no reports. Nothing. Zero. Nada.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Do you want to hold on, or is that all you have to say, Mike?
I'm done, but the funny thing is...
Okay, let me put you on hold, because I got to make way for the train here. I'll come right back to you, Mike. Stick around. We'll finish up here in a second.
Smithereens. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
The Radio Free Speech Zone.
Ben Zelenak in on the Radio Free Speech Zone. Joining us is the smarter, the better looking, the funnier of the Smothers Brothers, the more talented Tom Smothers. You have brought comedy and social commentary to the living room on the television screen with the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Is there a place today for something like that, something where free speech can be intertwined with entertainment?
Free speech goes without saying, you would think, but we're censoring ourselves too much right now. The government has a point of view, and anybody that disagrees with it, you're not patriotic, you're a treasonous, you don't agree with the government. Its position, and that's what happened back in the 60s, and it's happening again now. So it's kind of depressing in that way.
They almost wrapped the First Amendment in an impermeable shell of patriotism.
That's right. The only person that has a right to say anything is them. This is great to be out where people don't talk over you and be rude to you.
The Radio Free Speech Zone, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
About the Michael Loy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we are talking with Mike in upstate New York about the truth about what's happening to our soldiers. Where were we, Mike?
Oh, okay. Well, the last point is that, okay, so we've got 2,000 wounded since this all started. Somewhere in one of the articles, they had a little hit in there that 20% of the guys hit that have gone down, brain injuries.
Yeah, I saw that. Head injuries, brain injuries. That's going to require, oh, my God, not just the agony and misery for the soldier and his family or her family, but the cost. Jesus, mm-hmm. God.
And no nothing in the news, no compassion.
Nothing.
No caring for these guys. And the only reason I can come up with that these guys are so pro-military is simply this. They're just worlders. They think that the world is fair and just, and bad things don't happen to good people, and if something bad happens to you, well, it's your fault. You must have done something somewhere to somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can, I guess fatalists can make an argument like that, but what about what they see with their own eyes, that they don't have the right equipment, that their pay is cut, benefits for their families is cut, grants to school districts where their kids go to school is being cut. VA benefits are being cut if they're available at all. And you know, another thing, I don't know if you saw this or not, I saw it today, I believe, as many as 10%, and I don't know if it said the total deaths since George Bush declared the major combat operations over, 10% have been suicides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got our guys taking it on the chin, left and right. And I'm just sitting here looking at it going, okay, I guess what it's going to come down to, other than the fact you also got a guy that went AWOL, that's like, whoa, don't want to get this story out, but that's amazing. But what do you think is going to happen when these guys start coming home to stay? Oh, yeah, and we get the hit in about another month and a half. George isn't going to get any money from anybody in the rest of the world. He's going to have to come back for us for the rest of the $40 billion. How's that going to go over?
Well, I'll tell you, and I hope this is not misunderstood. It's what I'm going to say could be very easily misunderstood. But I have two words for the soldiers that applies possibly to soldiers coming back. Given what they've seen, given how the U.S. government has utterly and absolutely betrayed them and continues to betray them, two words, Timothy McVeigh.
All right, on that, I guess I'll let you go.
All right.
Have a good night, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about with that, again, I've made reference to this several times. Gore Vidal had extensive correspondence with Timothy McVeigh when McVeigh was awaiting his execution for the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building that took 180-plus lives. And Vidal has published this. It was in the book Endless War for Endless Peace. It's a very quick book, probably not more than 150 pages. But in that book, he has put in the book the extensive correspondence between him and McVeigh. And as Vidal says, you know, Timothy McVeigh was not an ignorant person. He was a mass murderer. There's no question he was a mass murderer. But Vidal takes it to a different level, because in the letters from Timothy McVeigh, McVeigh lays out very clearly why he did what he did. Remember, Timothy McVeigh never said, I didn't do it. But to Gore Vidal, he lays out why he did. And it is astonishing if you've got the guts to read it. I mean, a lot of us would rather say, I was one who would rather say, oh, Timothy McVeigh was just some militia type jackass who went berserk and decided to go kill people. If you will read this, it's Endless War for Endless Peace. I believe that's the title. Endless War for Endless Peace by Gore Vidal. And read this section where the letters that went between McVeigh and Vidal are published. And I'll tell you right now, it will influence your opinion of that awful tragedy in Oklahoma and Timothy McVeigh. I'm not saying you'll come away thinking, oh, poor Timothy McVeigh. You won't. But it will give you an entirely different take.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
We might be living through one of the largest extinction events in Earth history, but it's not making many waves. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The age of dinosaurs ended 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite crashed into the Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period. Well over half of all species met their doom in the cataclysm. Ann Weil is a paleontologist at Duke University. Weil studies how animal species recovered after the Cretaceous mass extinction. She says large-scale losses of species don't always occur in such spectacular ways.
I think that, yes, there is a preconception that a mass extinction has to happen catastrophically and very suddenly. And in fact, that's not the case.
Weil says the Earth might be going through a mass extinction event right now. Many scientists claim we're losing plant and animal species at a rate unseen since the end of the dinosaur age.
And because the reconstructions of the end Cretaceous extinction are so dramatic, with the asteroid impact and giant tsunamis and so forth and so on, many people don't realize that there is a catastrophe going on right now. But you are going to live the best day of your life in the middle of a mass extinction event, and you're probably not going to notice.
Some scientists estimate that today's extinction rate is 1,000 times greater than normal, although such numbers are debatable. But Weil says something is happening, and her research shows that some species are at a clear disadvantage in these events. She says large plants and animals with small geographic ranges and those most dependent on certain ecosystems are most at risk. Animals that are more adaptable and that live across broad areas and conditions will fare much better. Those include coyotes, cockroaches, and humans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Well, well, well. Kevin in Tampa sent this to me. Ma Barker was on... Barbara Bush was interviewed someplace tonight. Anyway, AOL is posting quotes on their front page from the Barbara Bush interview. Where was she interviewed? On CNN, Kathy? Someplace? I don't know. Here's some quotes on her family. You can criticize me, but don't criticize my children, and don't criticize my daughters-in-law, and don't criticize my husband, or you're dead. What the heck? Why? You're dead? Don't criticize. Are you dead? If somebody said that about her, they'd be in Guantanamo, right? You can criticize me, but don't criticize my children, my daughter-in-law. Don't criticize my husband. You're dead. And you wonder why I call her Ma Barker? Huh? On the Democrats. It gets a little old when 10 grown men around the country not talking about what they're going to do, but knocking my precious, courageous, brilliant son. That's a mother speaking. On Iraq. Well, they may not find the banned weapons because, my gosh, it's a big sandy country. But look what they did find in the sand. They found thousands of bodies. That's enough for me. Well, you moron! A lot of those bodies are there because of weaponry provided by your husband in the 80s, Babs. On Laura Bush, Pickles. I think maybe Laura's been the biggest surprise for America. What a woman.
Oh, my God. I don't like this woman. I just don't like her. I really don't. I don't like any of them. Oh, well. So what?
Dave is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good. Oh, I'm doing pretty good, although I was. Can I say the word pissed off last night?
You certainly may.
Good.
What got you in that state?
Oh, the interview with Bush and Larry King. I just wish Larry would do like he did in the late 90s, one of the last times that she was on his program.
That was last night, this interview that I quoted
from? Yes, okay. Yes. And you mentioned when she said, "Well, don't get after this member, that member, my grandchildren, or you're dead."
Yeah.
And I looked at her face. I'm a social worker by profession, and I said, "Come on, there's a smile after this, or a joke." And it was only joking, right? No, there was nothing there. My God, I said, "Come on, Barr, you can't be this bad."
Yeah.
And she didn't smile, didn't crack a joke or anything afterwards. She just kept on talking about other things. And then I began to realize, well, wait a minute. There was a certain degree of intention in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go back through the Bush family's history, and I'm referring to she and her husband, that history.
Right.
You go all the way back to some shady, shady things that happened 40 years ago next month, and where she was and where she wasn't with George and so on. And I can tell you that I've seen some documents in the last couple of months that have shown me that she helped him set up a ruse. He was a CIA asset. You know, he had been in the Bay of Pigs, and Kennedy was, didn't get the thing, support the invasion and militarily and so on. A lot of motivation there, and he had been involved because Castro had nationalized one of his offshore rigs that owned by another company, but he was contracted to do the service work on it and had made millions and millions of dollars doing that, with Zapata. And then he shows up with the Associated Press, and there's other news media showing him there at the spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about
right
around the corner there from Dealey Plaza, and then within a few minutes after
Barbara
was fired, he goes right down there, and he's photographed again.
Yeah, Barbara, I'm sure Barbara knows where the bodies are buried. You know what also intrigues me? I know that's an issue that we need to address, and as the 40th anniversary comes up here, we will. But the other issue that intrigues me about Barbara Bush and the Bush crime family is their association with the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and the fact that Reverend Moon, among other things, has financed the Bush family. He has also he sent several millions of dollars to Kim Jong Il's father. I forget the former.
Really?
Their association with the Moon family is just astonishing. Now,
how are the Moonies doing these days?
I never see them anymore.
I don't either.
I used to just try to cross the street when I saw one, just get away, because to me they were like pod people. Just,
I remember.
I tried to find the big wind-up key in their backs when they turned away. But the Moon family and the Bush family, this is where the Bush family parts company with the religious fundamental Christian right in this country. Because remember, Reverend Moon is one who claims to be the latest incarnation of Christ. And religious fundamentalists are intrigued by him. They'll take his money. He does have a relationship with religious fundamentalists, but some of them get a little bit pissed off because Reverend Moon is so well organized. Of course, he's an ex-felon. He served time in federal penitentiary here tax evasion. But he is one of the chief backers of the Bush crime family, has been for years.
Well, they're a source of a lot of money for him.
millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I refer to them as the Bush crime family not to be cute, not to be sarcastic, not to be arrogant, but because it is a fact.
Well, I knew last night when she said, "Well, Larry, every night George and I, before we go to bed, we pray." And she had just finished saying that whenever the news is on earlier in the evening, Bush Sr.'s out there watching every single moment of the news and gets mad and cusses and swears every time something negative comes up about Bush Jr. And then she's saying that they go to bed and they pray. And I said, yeah, right. But the next night he's watching TV and cussing and swearing again. And my feeling is that what we have here is a case in point of an actress. I mean, this lady is a woman who admitted to Larry King 5 years ago on his program that, you know, not that it's any big immoral thing down in Texas in a bar, but, you know, she danced naked on the bar in a tavern down there. And she said her friend had seen a photograph from the photographer from the newspaper come in and take a picture, and she went out, and with no look on her face of a little bit of shame or whatever, you know, she says, well, tell me, was it a frontal shot?
All right, that I can't take anymore. All right, Dave, that you left. You finally produced an image that makes me just want to run screaming out of the studio.
Indeed, and so this is why I think that what we've got to do is we have to really peg the Bush family for what they've done. I don't know that the truth about their involvement in the Kennedy assassination. I've seen the documents and read them and so forth. His lies about being in the CIA, not being in there at the time, and so on. But, you know, if you look at the whole history on up through Iran-Contra and October Surprise and Barbara Honegger, his secretary, Bush Sr.'s.
Yeah, there's plenty of potential for that to be absolute truth.
Understand who raised Bush Jr.
Sure. Yes, you do. Yes, okay. You do. Dave, I got a boogie.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. What a family, huh? What a family. One of our callers said to Kathy, mentioned to Mike, Barbara Bush's comment about it gets a little old when 10 grown men run around the country not talking about what they're going to do, but knocking my precious, courageous, brilliant son. What, Carol Moseley Braun is a man? 10 grown men?
Babs, that's not a man, Babs. I know she's colored, and it's hard for you to tell the difference when somebody's colored. But you notice the dress and the hat and the purse. Well, no hat, but the dress and the purse. No, she's not in drag. That's a woman.
Ten men running around the country. Okay. Another big story today, 300 illegal workers busted at Walmart's. Did you hear about this? Federal agents raided Walmart's headquarters and 60 of its stores across the country today, arresting more than 300 illegal workers in an immigration crackdown. Now, here's the interesting part. A couple of interesting parts. Either most or a considerable number of these people are Eastern Europeans. So they're not brown people. They're, for the most part, white people. Okay, that's something new and different, right? Last time there was a big raid like this was on Tyson Foods in Arkansas, and a lot of those were brown people. These are white people. All sorts of people arrested, 300. They were members of cleaning crews, supposedly hired by outside contractors. You know, we contract that stuff out. However, according to NPR, according to the Associated Press, according to the stories now as they're coming out, federal law enforcement officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity said Walmart and its executives had direct knowledge of these violations. The federal authorities cited recordings, ooh, sort of like what, like the wire that Ms. Klein wore when the pig man got busted, right? Ah, okay. Recordings of meetings and conversations among Walmart executives, managers, and contractors.
Hey, let's get some of those stupid Albanians and who else is over there? Slavovians. What's another country? Transylvanians and Bulgarians and, you know, people like that. And we'll work a deal here with a subcontractor. And what the hell, we can pay him. We'll work it out where we'll pay the contractor the equivalent of, you know, $5 an hour. And no records, no Social Security, no medical, no nothing. And, you know, we're not going to give these people these jobs to Americans.
The workers were arrested as they finished their night shifts at Walmart stores in 21 states. Agents also hauled off several boxes of documents from an executive's office at the Walmart headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas. Now, this is kind of unusual because the Walton family, the whole Walmart thing, they are Republicans down to the stench on their dirty socks. They are heavy contributors to the Republican Party. I don't know. It must be a rogue element in the Justice Department, Immigration and Naturalization. That's part of the Justice Department, isn't it? Or is it not? Am I wrong there? I bet I am. I have a feeling that INS is not part of the Justice Department. Is it? Will somebody send me an email, just yes or no? Treasury Department? Well, I know the Coast Guard is part of the Treasury Department. Or is the Coast Guard now part of the Homeland Security? Who knows anymore? You know, the Bush crime family is just wrecking everything. But INS, Immigration and Naturalization, are they part of Justice? I don't know. But apparently, it must be a rogue element, although this looks like a carefully coordinated and rather involved investigation. But here's Walmart. A corporation that last year had gross receipts of $200+ billion. It is the largest corporation in the history of the human race. The largest. It has done more to destroy the downtowns, the little towns and medium-sized towns across the fruited plain, coast to coast and border to border. It does not allow unionized workers. It gets its products from Chinese, Malaysian, Indonesian sweatshops where children and old people and young people and men and women work for the equivalent, I guess, pick a number, 10 cents an hour, a dollar a day. I don't know. But this is Walmart. And now apparently, allegedly, executives with Walmart conspired with these independent contractors who must be like white slavers, right? Why call it white? Like slave masters. Is this any different from the slave brokers who would contract with white southern planters in the 1800s and the 1700s in the United States to bring over Africans? Is this any different?
Well, Mike, the white Europeans aren't really slaves. The black Africans were, but the white Europeans, they're not really slaves, Mike. That's a stretch.
Well, maybe to you, you moron, but it's not a stretch to me. Walmart, huh? You know, I told you about a year ago, more than that. What's it been, Kathy? A couple of years. We just made a decision. No Walmarts. If I'm dying of thirst and the only place selling bottled water is Walmart, I'll just have to die of thirst. Or go open a tap. Jesus. Now, while that's going on, some 2 million U.S. jobs have disappeared over the last 2 years. I'm sure you all are familiar with these special visas. They're called L-1 visas or H-1-B visas. That was some scam set up by the federal government. I think the Bush crime family, or was this the Clinton administration? I'm not sure which, but this was special visas that were to be granted to high-tech specialists who had come to this country if Americans couldn't be found for the jobs. Now, what has happened, Americans are being fired, are being pink-slipped, are being let go, and these lower-paid replacements who are well-educated, most of them are coming from India at this point. I'm not saying they're not well-educated. Oh, they are. But they'll come over here and work for one-fourth or one-half of what American workers work for. So it's not just our jobs being exported, but we are importing not just people who clean the floors of Walmart and the toilets of Walmart, but also internet technology, the high-tech people. Now, the story from CBS News, they take one guy, this guy who earned a salary last year of $100,000 as a programmer. Today he's a handyman because workers imported from India took his job. He says they started bringing them in because obviously they would work for less money. And when the Indian programmers arrived at the first data corporation in Coral Springs, Florida, this guy had to teach them the system, effectively training the people who were going to replace him. 400,000 American high-tech workers have lost their jobs or are working for less, and at the same time, 460,000 immigrants brought to this country are working in jobs in computer-related fields that used to belong to Americans. Does that... I mean, is that right?
No, it isn't.
I saw the boss come a-walking down along the factory line, saying, boys, we have to tighten up our belts. But he didn't look any thinner than he did a year ago, and I wonder just how hungry that man felt. He knows it ain't hard to get along with somebody else's troubles. They don't make him lose any sleep at night.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a trickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, Simply Cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm interested in solving problems quickly. I want more people working.
Hey, thanks for the emails here. INS is now part of Homeland Security. Okay. Ben, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief and WhiteRoseSociety.org webmaster is checking in. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. Well, the problem with H-1B visa is it is essentially an indentured servitude.
Yeah, I remember talking about this about 8 or 10 months ago when it was a fresh story, but now all of a sudden it's starting to pop up again.
Yeah, you see, what happens is the company that you're going to go work for in America sponsors your visa.
Right.
And then you have no leverage whatsoever with that company respect to wages or working conditions or hours or anything.
You take what they give you.
Because if they fire you, you go home.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is just like the indentured servants of old. You know, your passage to America, essentially the H-1B visa, is paid for by the company, and it is fairly expensive for a company to sponsor, mm-hmm. and a lot of paperwork. And you are at their mercy until you have been in the country, I think it's 5 years. So it's a 5-year indentured servitude, during which time, yeah, they can get you whatever price they choose.
And then what happens?
Well, then you qualify for your regular green card and you can become a resident.
Well, what is going on is not in keeping with the original intent of the law, I don't think.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But these employers, once again, screw the American worker, screw the guy that sweeps the floors, the woman who works in the factory, and the man who runs the your IT system at work. Just screw them all.
When many of us tried to oppose H-1B visas during the mid-1990s, we were told, A, you're racist, and B, you are stifling the internet boom.
Well, and C was shut up and sit down and let your job disappear.
Exactly right.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, thanks, Ben.
You're very welcome.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. We're out of time, aren't we? I think we are. Yeah, just about. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Much thanks to Mark Marshall and our mods. Our moderators at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't been there, check it out. Sign up. Start posting. Bring topics. Have fun. Play. Also, our music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas. And program note, don't forget, Nancy Skinner will be here Monday. Not tomorrow, but Monday in our second hour. See how she's doing with her Illinois Senate campaign. Hey, have a nice evening. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike